please pray with me the prayer of illumination. Holy God, our lives are open, an open book to you. Search us, know us, and through your word, transform us. Amen. This morning, I will be reading from Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 14. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then shall we do?" In reply to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even the tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed to you." Soldiers also asked him, "And what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort any money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you to the choir, and especially Chris and Emily, for joining us today. That was a fantastic song. And I always find it interesting that John the Baptist starts with brood of vipers, and he has unquenchable fire, and it's called good news at the end of that reading. Well, this is our third week in Advent in our sermon series, I'll Be Hope for Christmas. Last week, we looked at preparation for hope, that hope is something that can be cultivated like an acre of Iowa sweet corn. We were asked to consider, is God trying to plant a seed of hope in your life? Or maybe is God asking you to stop obsessing over something, to not overmix it like the whipped cream turning into butter? This week, we are bouncing back to a prophecy in Isaiah, and this is a victory song. The context here is that the people of Israel were split into two kingdoms, a northern one called Israel, a southern kingdom called Judah, and the northern kingdom had fallen. It had been conquered by the Assyrians. But Jerusalem in the south survived thanks to a miracle from God. And so this song is sung as a song of victory. And this week we're looking at posture of hope. So listen in this text to the evolution of the writer's posture. Listen to the different body positions and ask yourself, what does that have to do with hope? Isaiah chapter 12, starting with verse 2. "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust, will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, 'Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously, and let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel.'" This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Well, if you are on our Facebook page or our email list, you may know that in the sermon teaser this week, I started off upside down and then shared the story of the Scala Sancta in Rome. It is a staircase that purportedly is the same staircase that Jesus walked up when he was on his way to his trial. And somewhere in the 3rd or 4th century, they actually took this marble staircase and brought it from Jerusalem to Rome. There's a lot of shipping costs involved with that. And then very shortly thereafter, it became a custom for people, for pilgrims who came to this staircase to ascend it, not on their feet, but on their knees. And the idea here was that by changing posture from feet to knees, it was designed to help you connect with Jesus' commitment to us and also his suffering on our behalf. If you want to give this a shot after the service, we have a staircase right through this door, so we'll look forward to that. But not everyone who experienced this thought it was a good thing. Charles Dickens in 1845 wrote, "I never in my life saw anything at once so ridiculous and unpleasant as this sight of people going up on their knees." Martin Luther supposedly climbed the staircase on his knees in 1511, but as he reached the top, he realized, maybe a moment from the Holy Spirit, that no one really knows if Jesus walked up these stairs. And it was a turning point for him when he started to move toward what eventually he articulated as being saved by faith alone, not by your rituals. It was an important moment for him. But in that regard of him not knowing, I do have Martin Luther beat, because when I was in Israel, they have, you know, the excavated stairs that lead up to the Temple Mount. And as I was there, I went over to one of the stairs and I started shuffling on every square inch. Now, for some strange reason, people asked me, "What on earth are you doing?" And so I told them my logic. Now, we know that Jesus went up to the Temple Mount many, many times. And we know that these are the same steps that were there when he was alive. So if I cover every square inch of this step, I'm guaranteed at least one overlap with Jesus' footprints. So take that, Martin Luther. But whether you think that climbing those stairs on your knees is a spiritual thing or maybe a ridiculous thing, you have to admit that the change in posture changes the perspective of that staircase. Something easy, walking upstairs, becomes something hard. Something very mundane becomes something memorable. That change of posture, knees instead of feet, changes the whole experience of that particular staircase in Rome. Posture matters. That's why I started off that video this week upside down, and that's why I'm not in the pulpit this week, is to change the posture and maybe change your perspective and therefore change your experience, to show you that posture matters. I've shared, not in a sermon, but I think in a call to worship before, that my wife and I did the Manitou Incline a while back, and it climbs 2,000 feet in about 3/4 of a mile, which is, in technical terms, steep. And as we were starting up, we saw a guy finish running down, and then he turned around and started running back up, and he lapped us a few times. At the bottom, as I was about to start up the incline, I was very impressed. My perspective was I was impressed with this guy's physical fitness. Then about 3/4 of the way up, as I'm wheezing and trying to convince my legs to keep going somehow, as he laps us again, I had a different perspective with that different posture. It was something, maybe a better word would be resentment, toward his physical fitness. And then at the top, finally, the posture from the top, looking down at this steep incline, I had a different perspective altogether, which was, this guy's nuts. One misstep and you are a goner on that thing. Different perspective from a different posture. It changes your experience. Now, in our text today, there is an interesting evolution of postures, as I mentioned, in this victory song. It starts off with an interesting word, surely. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my might. Now, if I told you, surely it's going to be okay, right? Would that inspire confidence in you? Maybe not. But that's the exact posture of the beginning, this first verse of this victory song. The first posture is really of a person who is tired, is afraid, is powerless. But nevertheless, they are repeating this mantra of faith. I will trust, for God is my strength. I will not be afraid, because God is my salvation. That is a survivor's posture, just barely making it. But just barely making it is still a posture of hope, because it still means you're making it somehow. And so even if your head is bowed and your head is in your hands, that is still a posture of hope, because it means you're not curled up in the fetal position in the corner. It is an acknowledgement that there is some hope. Sometimes even just sitting up is a posture of hope when all you feel like doing is laying down. If your pillow is wet from tears this Advent, a posture of hope might be praying sitting up. That simple change might make a difference in what you hear from God. After Isaiah gets through that survivor's posture, He weathers the storm, and then he gets a different posture in verse 3. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Now, if you can get up and you can go to a well and pull in some water, you've at least moved beyond just surviving. You've moved beyond being depressed. You're in a different place. You can move again. And so really this posture is one of receiving from God, drinking from the well of salvation, drinking the living water. This is head up, arms out, receiving God's word and receiving God's blessing. That's a very different posture than just the verse before. And as Isaiah receives this living water, verse 4 says, "Give thanks to the Lord and call on his name." So maybe you've finally made it through the storm in your life. Or maybe you realize that you've just been distracted. Distracted by too much work, too many projects, or just too much of life in general. If that is you, then maybe a posture of prayer this Advent is one of receiving. Being open to whatever God has to say, to be receiving God's blessing. To take a break from our mile-a-minute lives. To just receive God's word and God's blessing. Be open to the giver of joy. That is a different posture for prayer. Now, after Isaiah has his survival moment, after he is open to God's blessing, he has another posture in verses 4 and 5. Make known God's deeds among the nations. Proclaim that his name is exalted. This is a posture of invitation, of openness. I was at a store not too long ago, and there were two checkout lines. They were roughly equal, and I have long since learned that I shouldn't try to guess which one's going to be shorter, because that's just a lost cause for me. So I looked at the two cashiers, and one of them was, you know, head down and just, you know, kind of jerkily moving all the things, was obviously annoyed at something. And the other person was cheerful, was talking to people, but not so much that they'd be late. And so I decided, given the option of these two people, I'm going to go to the one who's happy right now, who has a posture of invitation and of openness. And a posture of invitation for us might be recognizing who we haven't seen here before and greeting them. A posture of invitation might be being open to a conversation that might lead to a spiritual place. A posture of invitation might be noticing in a room who's alone. Is there anything that God wants to do through you? But maybe he's just waiting for you to have a posture of invitation and openness. The final posture in this text is in verse 6. It's very different. Think about this relative to where he started. In verse 6, Isaiah is standing tall, shouting with joy to the Lord, singing his praises. The imagery here is very powerful. It's like a party that has gone late into the night and has no sign of stopping anytime soon. It is the sound of merriment that doesn't care who hears. This is being so overjoyed with what God has done and is doing that you are caught up in a wave of celebration. It's like the guttural cry of victory when your shot goes in or your team wins with all zeros on the clock. Or maybe you get the promotion or the good grade. That's that unbridled celebration, that posture of unbridled joy is the final posture in this text. So is there anything in your life to celebrate with abandon, with such fervor that it's like a party stretching into the night with no sign of stopping anytime soon, a posture of unbridled joy? Sisters and brothers, posture matters. And a change of posture changes our perspective and can change our experience as well. So what posture might you adopt this Advent, or in your prayer this week? Where might you walk up on your knees instead of on your feet? If your pillow is wet with tears right now, that might just be the simple act of praying while sitting up, that simple act of hope. If you have maybe made it through a storm, or maybe you're just distracted by life right now, maybe that posture is one of openness, of receiving God's blessing. Maybe God wants to do something through you this Advent, but he's waiting for you to have a posture of invitation and openness to other people. Or maybe it's time to celebrate. Maybe it's time to have a posture of unbelief. unbridled joy, to be overjoyed, sing praises for what God has done in your life or is doing right now. As you hear these, you might think that I'm being metaphorical or talking about attitude, but I'm not. I'm talking about literal, physical posture while you are praying this week and this Advent. I want to encourage you to make this not hypothetical, but physical. Truly, physically change your posture in prayer and see if that change in posture changes your perspective and might change your experience. And maybe, just maybe, that's the final piece for you hearing the new thing that God has to say to you. Change your posture in prayer this week. I double dog dare you. Amen.